Everybody else is excited as I am for another installment, our time in Ezekiel. I was telling Austin, was it you this morning? I said, we're going to have to get some theme music or something. You know, it's like our weekly episode of, Ezekiel. This is fun. I hope you guys have been having as much fun in Ezekiel as I have. This is a great book. Confusing a lot of times at first read, but really worth the time to dig in and really mine the riches of God's Word here. So as you know, throughout most of this month, we have been in the middle of one sort of coherent vision from chapter 8 through chapter 11. That vision finally completed itself last week at the end of chapter 11. And can anybody remember maybe the main point, if there was one main point of that vision? Gary? God was leaving. Where was he going?
To foreign lands.
Any place in particular? Yeah, Tori? Oh, okay. Oh, do you have another main theme?
Yeah.
What was it? The people who are still in Jerusalem, yeah, they are going to be judged. Did you have?
God was leaving to go be with his people.
To be with his people, right? And where are his people?
In Babylon.
Yes. At this time, most of God's people are still in the Promised Land, in Israel and Judah, Jerusalem, all the places we're familiar with, but. There is a significant portion that has been taken off into exile in the land of Babylon. And everybody's assuming that those people must have done something wrong because they don't get to stay in the Promised Land. God has taken them out of the Promised Land. That seems like a sign of judgment, right? And it is judgment on his people, but ultimately at the end of the vision we learn that in fact, there's more judgment coming, and it's going to be worse for the people who stayed, who are trusting in their own righteousness, trusting in God's promises to their fathers and grandfathers, and not actually caring very much about an ongoing relationship with the Lord and their ongoing faithfulness. But despite the fact that there is going to be very, very harsh judgment coming, the Lord is not going to completely wipe out everybody. He has reserved for himself a remnant who will not be destroyed, but it's not the people they expect it to be. It's not the people who think they're good enough. It's the people who are actually suffering right now in Babylon. The Lord hasn't forgotten them, and he's going to be with them. Great message of grace in the midst of a very, very trying time, which hopefully is encouraging for us as well. This morning, we are moving on to chapter 12, and we're going to see a couple of more of these sign acts where Ezekiel is told to do some things that may look a little funny, but the point is the act itself is a message that we'll see explained as well. So let me pray. We will read it, and then we will we'll do our habit of splitting up and looking at the passage in smaller groups. Let me pray. Father, we thank you once again for another day, for another Sunday, a day when we can gather together with your people, a day when we can hear from your word and study it together. Lord, we pray that you would be with us especially as we are gathered together, two or more are gathered together in your name. So you promise to be with us. We thank you for that promise. We pray that you would keep it as we know that you are a promise-keeping God, and that we would benefit from your presence with us, that we would understand your word, and we would be moved to praise you and to follow you all the more closely, having read it and studied it together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. Not the whole chapter, but just verses 1 through 20 today. Here we go. The word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel speaking. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. As for you, son of man, prepare for yourself an exile's baggage, and go into exile by day in their sight. You shall go like an exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage by day in their sight, a baggage for exile, and you shall go out yourself at evening in their sight, as those do who must go into exile. In their sight, dig through the wall and bring your baggage out through it. In their sight, you shall lift the baggage upon your shoulder and carry it out at dusk. You shall cover your face so that you may not see the land, for I have made you a sign for the house of Israel. And I did as I was commanded. I brought out my baggage by day, a baggage for exile. And in the evening, I dug through the wall with my own hands. I brought out my baggage at dusk, carrying it on my shoulder in their sight. In the morning, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, this oracle concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are in it. Say, I am a sign for you. As I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall go into exile, into captivity. And the prince who is among them shall lift his baggage upon his shoulder at dusk and shall go out. They shall dig through the wall to bring him out through it. He shall cover his face that he may not see the land with his eyes. And I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, and he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all who are around him, his helpers and all his troops, and I will unsheathe the sword after them, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I disperse them among the nations and scatter them among the countries. But I will let a few of them escape from the sword, from famine and pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the nations where they go, and may know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink water with trembling and with anxiety, and say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety, and drink water in dismay. In this way her land will be stripped of all it contains on account of the violence of all those who dwell in it. And the inhabited cities shall be laid waste, and the land shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And there goes my Bible. Let's go ahead and split up then into small groups, 3, 4, 5 people, something like that. Take a look at what you see. Pay special attention to those words and phrases that are repeated often. And just take note of kind of what's there, what's going on, and what questions you have. All right, let's finish up in the next 20 seconds. Bring it back together. Pretty close to 20 seconds. Very good. So, as we like to do, or as I like to do at least, kind of break it down into chunks so you can kind of see the flow of what exactly is going on in the text. There's kind of three main sections in today's text. If you look at verses 1 through 7, you see sort of the sign, right, the main sign of this text. What is the sign? What is he physically doing? What is God calling Ezekiel to do? What's that? Pack up, dig a hole in the wall, crawl through it, and leave. Okay. Pack up, crawl, leave. So like a normal Tuesday, right? It's a little strange. Kind of a strange thing to do. Then in the second section, from 8 through 16, the Lord then gives the explanation. Why? Why did he ask you to do those things? If you notice, Ezekiel, he had to just do this without actually knowing why, right? The Lord called him to perform this sign. He said, just do it. He didn't really give him a reason or an explanation. Ezekiel had to do it first in verse 7, and then in verse 8, the word of the Lord comes to him the next morning and explains to him why he was doing all that stuff. So what was the explanation? What was he depicting? Yeah, Eric. What will happen? Yes. What will happen to whom? Yes. What will happen to the people of Jerusalem? Because where is Ezekiel right now? He's in Babylon, right. Ezekiel's in Babylon. All of these visions, all of these signs, they're happening in Babylon. That's where he is. That's what he's showing. That's what he's telling to the people in Babylon. But he's getting these revelations about what's going to happen to the people who are still in Jerusalem, the people who are still there. And then we have this last section, 17 through 20. It's a kind of a different sign, but very much related. What's he asked to do there? What does God ask him to do? Janet? Yeah, very, very publicly, eat and drink while trembling, shaking, right? Kind of another funny thing to do, right? Right? Eat and drink while trembling. And what was the reason for that? What's the explanation there? What was he symbolizing, Jacob? That's what the people of Jerusalem are going to do. Exactly. That's what the people of Jerusalem are going to do. Again, for the people of Jerusalem. So, that's the main structure. That's the basics of what happens in the text and what it symbolizes. Now, what did you notice in the text? What stuck out to you? Mel?
Well, in the signs, there was another thing that was part of the signs, and that was for him to cover his face.
To cover his face. Good. Yes. He talked about covering his face. What's that all about?
Well, he can't see.
He can't see. Did that not seeing come up at all anywhere else in the text? Was that a prominent theme? prince wasn't allowed to see, right? Yeah, in the explanation, the prince wasn't going to see. Bob, did you have? That was it. Okay. Yeah, Patty?
The rebellious house did not see.
The rebellious house did not see. Yes, the rebellious house. There was another phrase that was repeated. Have we seen that phrase before? Yes. Who's the rebellious house? Israel. God's people is the rebellious house. They're rebelling against him. Yeah, they're rebelling against him. I think four times I saw the rebellious house. What about that theme of sight or seeing? Was there more to it? The rebellious house won't see. Yeah, Justin?
He's commanded to, like, do all his acts, like, in their sight.
In their sight. Yes, in their sight. Yeah, that little phrase, in their sight, or as they watch, right? He uses that seven times in five verses. And I think I count 12 or more total in the whole 20 verses. Pretty important. What's going on? Yeah, Kat? Mm-hmm.
Why isn't anyone stopping him digging through a hole? I don't know that we have the answer, but my question is, this is really strange. Why aren't there more people being like, why are you doing this? Will you please stop doing this? You're being destructive.
Yeah, well, what else has Ezekiel done? Has he done some other kind of odd things in people's sight so far? Yeah, Addie? Yes. Good. Good. I'm gonna come right back to that one because I don't want to forget. Yeah, Ezekiel doing things in people's sight. Yes. Gary. Yeah, I don't think you're reading too far into that. Yeah, I think that's good. Roy? Yeah. Yeah. That's right, laying on one side, laying on another side, building a fire and cooking his food over some rather unsavory materials, right? He's at this point, he's kind of kooky old prophet Ezekiel, right? You know, people are maybe like, it's shocking, but it's Ezekiel. They're like, this isn't necessarily new for them at this point. Oh, okay, he's digging a hole through the wall of his house. Why is he doing that? It's Ezekiel. Janet? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And he, yeah, he's got a very crazy life. But remember, the Lord has placed his hand on Ezekiel's tongue, his mouth, right? So he's not speaking at all, remember, until the Lord gives him words to speak. So Ezekiel is the guy that won't talk to anybody. He's the guy that randomly does weird things, and then when he does speak, he brings a message from the Lord. So yeah, he's an odd character for sure, but that absolutely, I think, plays up the fact that when he does something like that, and when he does speak, people are prone to listen. And that's why, right, he's supposed to do it in everybody's sight, right? That's the whole point. This is not just you know, God testing to see whether Ezekiel will do this now too, right? It's the point is the sign that he's given him to do is itself the message, right? It's part of the message. It's so people will look and see. And yet, there's this other theme. They're not seeing, right? Their face is covered. What does verse 2 say? You dwell in the midst of a rebellious house who have eyes to see, but see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not, right? It's not that God made them defective, right? He gave them eyes. He gave them ears. They work, and yet they're missing something. They're missing something. Yes. Yes.
Okay. We weren't sure if this is still part of the vision,
mm-hmm.
or if this was something.
No, he's back in the present. Now his present.
Okay. So is it believed that he's doing these at the same time that this is actually happening?
No. No, he's saying this is what will happen in Jerusalem. Yeah. Yeah, good question. Good question. Yes, yeah, Steve? That's right. When they get dispersed, they're going to tell everybody why, right? Why has God judged you this way? Well, it's because of what we did. Yeah, Kat? Right. Very good. Oh, very good. Yes. Yes, we are getting there. Okay, before we get there, there was another question.
Baggage.
Yes, thank you. He's packing up bags. What's going on with that? What's he depicting by packing up a bag and sneaking out through a hole in the wall of his house? What's he doing? What's that symbolizing? What's that?
Leaving.
He's leaving. He's leaving, and it's and the Lord says, let's see, where was it? Verse 11. Right, verse 11 says, I'm a sign for you, as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall go into exile, into captivity. Right? Just a very sort of obvious picture for them. These people are in exile. They should be pretty familiar with what's going on here, right? They're no strangers to, oh, yes, okay, they're leaving. They're not going to stay. They're not able to pack up everything, just kind of the essentials. We've got our baggage, and we're going out. And yet, what happens in verse 9, the Lord says, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? So he did it in their sight, right? They saw it, and they're going, what are you doing, Ezekiel? And Ezekiel says, listen, you guys, you're in exile. You ought to know what going into exile looks like, right? But they have eyes to see, but they're not seeing, right? They have eyes to see, but they're not seeing. And why is it that they're not seeing? Verse 2, because they're a rebellious house, because they're rebelling against the Lord, right? Yes.
Just another observation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what chapter it was earlier, but like God had told Ezekiel to dig through the
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit of a different, that was in the middle of the vision in chapter 8, where he was had to dig through the wall to see what they were doing in the secret parts of the temple, and they were committing all kinds of abominations. And yeah, in this case, he's coming out. He's depicting coming out in order to try to leave and escape, right? Otherwise, why are you digging a hole in the wall? Well, you're trying to escape, right? You can't leave through the main entrance, or you're going to be captured, but you just try to find a place where you can leave and escape, because the city is going to be destroyed. The city's going to be destroyed, and that's essentially what he is trying to tell them. Once again, there's this inconvenient truth. Maybe I don't want to use that. Never mind. We won't use that phrase. An unpalatable truth, we'll say. An unpalatable truth that they are reluctant to see. And that is that judgment is still coming to the people in Jerusalem, right? Judgment is still coming to the people of Jerusalem, and it's going to be bad. Right? They are not the people to be envied right now. Right? They are not the remnant, the good guys, right, that sort of skipped the judgment. They're the ones that ultimately that are going to have to be cleared out so that the land can be purified and prepared as an inheritance for the true remnant, the people who are in Babylon right now. Does that make sense? Tracking with me? Yeah, Bob? Right.
They're in Babylon. And so I'm wondering why this message seems to be that it should be in Jerusalem. But if people in Babylon are getting this message, some of them get it, probably some of them don't. And I was trying to think why. And the phrase that you shall know that I am the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Those who can't see, but realizing, you know, when we preach the gospel, you know, we say this is the way of salvation. We're saying it in from the pulpit for those who do not believe, but we're also saying it to the believers.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. What a comfort to them there who they're thinking the Lord has abandoned them. Right? They're thinking they're done for. They wish they were back in Jerusalem with everybody else, but the Lord is saying, listen, I am the Lord. Right? The temple's not the Lord. Jerusalem's not the Lord. The promised land's not the Lord. I am the Lord. And all of these things are going to happen so that you know that. You don't want to be them. Right? I've got you exactly where I want you. Even though it's not very comfortable, you're right where I want you to be. Yeah, Kat? Yes. Yes. And you'll see actually on the back of your sheet, you've got what would end up being the fulfillment of this prophecy happened later, you know, after the prophecy, and Ezekiel wasn't even in Jerusalem when it happened, but eventually, years later, a couple decades later, the city was besieged by the Babylonians, and this is what happened. 2 Kings 25, 4 through 7. A breach was made in the city, and all the men of war fled by night. by the way of the gate between the two walls by the king's garden, and the Chaldeans were around the city, and they went in the direction of the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they passed sentence on him. They slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him in chains and took him to Babylon. So quite literally, they killed his sons. So that was the last thing that he would see, his line ending. Then they put out his eyes so he sees nothing else. And then, yeah, he never saw the land again because he didn't see anything again. And he ultimately would die in Babylon. He was a pretty wicked king. And that was God executing judgment on him in that sense. Ethan, do you have something? Whatever it takes. Yeah, the Lord will make his name known. Absolutely. So to wrap up just a little bit, let's go ahead, I think, and make that connection. Or I think there are lots of good and appropriate connections that we can make here. We know what's happening here, right? Ezekiel is now, he's preaching with visual aids for people who, you know, they don't get it, right? He's got to kind of they're not listening, they're not seeing, so he has to embody the message itself. What connections do we see that are relevant for believers, for believers in Christ, for Christians? I think earlier, Kat, you were saying the fact that the Holy Spirit is now with us, and he opens blind eyes, right? He unstops our deaf ears so that we can see and hear the truth and understand and know, right, by faith who Jesus is and see his work in our lives and all around us. Yeah, we are by nature, we're blind to that, right? We don't see that unless he opens our eyes. You might think of, was it Romans 1, right, 18 through 23? By nature, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness, rebellious, right? What can be known about God is plain in all of creation, but we reject the Creator and worship and serve created things. That's who we are by nature, unless he opens our eyes. Yeah, did I see another? Bob, was that your hand? Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think that that's sort of a precursor to the gospel going out into all the nations.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe that, you know, I think that that is sort of a long term, I mean, near range as well, but long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, God's not going to just stay in one place, but he will make his name known among the nations, and he'll use his people to do that. So we then become witnesses, right, to a watching world, but to people who are blind and who are deaf. And we can also, I think, preach the gospel using words and embody that in our actions, right, in our service of love as we feed people and tell them about the bread of life, right? Or whatever it may be. Right? Wash somebody's car and tell them about the cleansing that we need in Jesus. There's all kinds of ways that we can embody, use sort of visual aids, as it were, the love of Christ, and kind of show forth the truth of what we see. I'm gonna give you one more. How about if we think about sort of embodying the message, or we could say incarnating the message of the gospel, about the fact that God himself literally became a man, right? Became human so that people with blind eyes would be able to see him, right? So that we could hear the message coming from one just like us, so we could understand, we could see him living out the truth of the gospel, fully obedient in our place, but dying the death that we deserved, right? And then we have the empty tomb, right? He rose from the dead as proof that God accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. We have all these visual aids, as it were, for the fact that even though we're blind to the gospel, God shows us time and time again. He doesn't just tell us, but he also shows us the truth of the gospel. Yarlene? That's right. That's right. Yeah, in fact, it's far worse than just being blind, right? We're actually dead. we don't just need contact lenses or hearing aids or something. We needed heart surgery. We needed God to take out our heart of stone, which is completely dead, and give us a heart of flesh. But to use the language from the previous chapter. Good questions. If you have other questions, I'm available to talk, but I need to pray so we can start getting set up for worship. Thank you, everybody. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the truth of your gospel, that you have been declaring it to us from all the way back centuries and millennia ago, and you have not changed. You are still so gracious to sinners like us, to those who are members of a rebellious house, but you meet us where we are. You open our blind eyes. You open our deaf ears. You change our stony hearts, and you soften them so that we can know your grace. Father, we thank you for your kind goodness to us, and pray that we also would be good witnesses to those around us, preaching the gospel, using words, using the truth of your word, and embodying the love that you have shown to us as well. To our neighbors. We thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.